How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we are back to the daily podcast. So thank you for making us part of your daily Monday through Friday routine, because basketball is back. We're here. Media Day begins Monday. And we are, I guess, previewing Media Day?
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, big Media Day preview podcast. That's what we do. That's how we roll on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're the Ren and Jays, John Corrales, Sam, Jam, Packard. So we're back. It's September, October around the corner. The season is going to start in like a couple of weeks. Holy shit, the season is back. So we're going to do like a little Media Day. We're going to have a Media Day. We literally have nothing to talk about, but Sam and I, we're just going to have a little bit of a media day. We're just going to ask each other media day type questions. So, and, you know, whatever. What do you think?
I think we're just going to, I don't want to say wing it, but we're going to wing it, and we're going to have some typical media day questions. There, one thing that's interesting coming off the events of the weekend, especially LeBron James tweeting that Donald Trump is a bum, which was hilarious, by the way. It was a great Twitter.
You bum.
Calling him a bum, like a crumb bum. Anyone watching right now or listening right now, feel free to pause and Google the video of former mayor of Philadelphia, Frank Rizzo, calling someone a crumb bum and a lush. That's what it reminded me of. But on a more serious note, I'm just curious what the Celtics' reaction, if any of the players, I mean, clearly they're going to be asked about going to the White House and Donald Trump and kind of the protest this weekend. I just don't think the Celtics players have enough personality or willingness to like kind of put themselves out there to really address it. Do you think anything happens or comes of it?
No, I don't think anything big is going to come out of that. I think, and this goes back to the Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder would have said something. Isaiah Thomas would have said something. I don't know if these guys would say, well, I don't know, maybe Kyrie, but I think the NBA is pretty unified when it comes to this. I don't think there's any real issue with kind of like, oh, I don't know where they stand. You know, the NBA is pretty much going to take a strong stand one way or the other. I will say this, and I know I don't want to dive into a ton of politics, but the NBA has been really great about being socially progressive. They're the first major American sports league to have a float in the New York City Gay Pride Parade. They are very progressive. They've come out with I don't want to say pro-gay, but like anti-injustice type of things. Like the NBA has been very proactive when it comes to that stuff. So I don't think there's a lot of controversy when it comes to the NBA and stuff like that. I think football is a very different animal, and I'm not going to go down that road, but I think just NBA tends to be a little bit more progressive with that stuff. So I don't think Media Day is going to devolve into a lot of political stuff.
See, I see it the other way. I'm pretty sure Brad Stevens is going to take the first 15 minutes just to rail against President Trump. Because that's just so much in his personality.
Because that's totally Brad's personality.
Is to insert himself into the story and really try to get all the attention on him for some off-the-court issues. I think it would be interesting to hear kind of the different perspectives of the players, and I'm hoping that they're candid in their thoughts, just because them being public figures and young, rich, successful, primarily people of color, I think it would just be interesting to gain their perspective, but I don't really expect it. And if they do the classic athlete thing of just kind of not really answering the question, that's what I expect to happen, and I don't really blame them for it, because I was actually, like, before this podcast, I was kind of not wanting to talk about just general Trump and protest things, not because I don't think we should hashtag sticks to sports, just because I don't think I have that much great insight to add in the issue, and I feel like athletes must feel the same way, where it's like they're forced to be asked something about a pretty, like, complicated issue, and it's just like, sometimes you just don't have a lot to say, but if you're just forced to say something, that's when you wind up saying something you might regret, and it's just, it's a tough situation for athletes to be in, so I'm curious what their thoughts are, but I don't blame them for if they don't really want to answer questions like that.
It's a tough position to be in, and here's my take on all of this. I respect a player's ability to either take a stand or not. I understand a person's desire to say, I just don't want to be involved in this, or I want to take a stand. It's not up to everybody to take a stand, but if you don't, okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not asking everybody to do it. I think it's important to express your opinions if you have it. This is not, like, I don't believe in the hashtag stick to sports thing. Obviously, if you follow me on Twitter, I clearly, obviously don't. So I believe in equality. I believe that a human being has the right to live as a human being, whether you're white or black, gay or straight, Catholic, Muslim, all of that, like, none of that matters. As long as you're a good person. And I don't think that we should impart a particular worldview on a person, a subset of people, or whatever. I just don't want that. And that's the basis for everything that I tweet and everything that I do. And if you don't want to participate in that, that's fine. That's not what this is about. So unfortunately, we're in a position where that's where it's kind of been driven. So, like, look, if you supported Donald Trump, like, I have a hard time saying this, but, like, look, that's your choice. That's your choice. It's definitely not my choice, but that's your choice. But I want everyone to just kind of coexist. I want everybody to live. I want everybody to just kind of, let's just live our lives and have this communal Celtics thing, or communal sports thing, and not drag sports down the political role. Unfortunately, sports plays a role in all of our lives, and it becomes political at some times, and this is the weekend, this is the time where it becomes political, so here we are. But whatever. I don't think the Celtics have to do it. I think most of the Celtics will deflect it, and there might be one or two who make a statement, you know, probably like a Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart. Like
Jaylen Brown, I think is a
Jaylen Brown
nominee.
You know, I mean, Kyrie Irving might have something to say about it. And that's whatever. Like, whatever their statement is, it is. You know, and we will talk about that and deal with it, whatever that statement is. I have no idea what that will be, but we'll see.
All right. But, so if we're leaving politics behind, what would be, like, say this crazy weekend didn't happen, what would be like the main question you're trying to get answered from Celtics Media Day, and who would you be asking it to?
Oh man. The main question?
Like, what's the, like, your big,
my big
takeaway?
Question is, yeah, like, my biggest basketball question is, so, okay, who's the leader? Who's the leader of this team? Like, is it Al? Is it Kyrie? Is it Hayward?
I mean, is it Marcus Smart?
Is it Marcus Smart? We've talked about this before, but who, when everything goes awry, when the Celtics go out there and shit themselves and lose to Atlanta or Orlando, and we have to say, what the hell just happened here? Who's the first guy out there? Who's the podium guy on that day? That's what I want to know.
I think somewhat connected to that is, and I just definitely a question I would want to ask Brad, if I could make it to Canton on Media Monday, I wish I could. But one, why are they moving the media day
first of
to
all,
Canton?
Yeah, Canton? What the hell, Canton?
I've gotten no answers for that. I think they're going to Newport shortly after that to
start
training camp, but I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. But for the question I'd want to ask is, how does Brad Stevens, a guy who's so focused on process, a guy who like meets with Stanford professors and about like growth and Penn professors about grit, he's all about like kind of process and how you get better. How does he see kind of leadership of specific players fitting into that? And does he think like different leadership styles are better or worse than other? And like, how does he cultivate leadership? I don't know. These are all kind of questions I'm just like, I would want to ask Brad Stevens as just a manager of people, because I feel like it's something he puts a lot of thought into. And I'm curious just to see what his thinking would be. And that's the kind of frustrating thing is, like I said, I feel like if you ask Brad that off the record, he would give a very fascinating answer. But on the record, he's a little bit more guarded and he doesn't want to say anything that would be like, I don't know, be at all interesting. I feel like that's his goal, is just to be kind of dull and boring. But who knows? Last year, we saw this huge development of him being a little bit more sarcastic, joking around with people, showing more of his personality. So I would hope we'd see more of that this year. But I would just really like to pick Brett, like his brain about how he sees kind of team building with such a new cast of characters.
Forget the basketball stuff. We have a year of actual basketball stuff. What do you want to ask the Celtics? What do you want to ask these guys? What thing do you want to know about these guys?
About any of the guys?
Anybody.
Well, I feel like I want to ask all of them just what shape of the earth, what is the shape of the earth, just to mess with them. I want to know what Terry Rozier feels about just like the entire internet calling him Tito, and if he's like had to have a weird...
the entire internet.
Yeah, that's...
All of the internet has decided, all of them, that they want to call him Tito.
It's just like it's something he has to deal with now.
Right.
I don't know. Marcus Smart, it seems like there's a bunch of new nerds on the team, and Marcus Smart is historically a bully and not someone who deals with nerds well. So I want to know how he's preparing for that.
How much lunch money are you getting?
Marcus, historically, you and nerds do not have a great relationship. Your thoughts to Gordon Hayward playing video games all summer.
Nerds!
I don't know. It feels like there's so much we don't know about the Celtics that I don't even know like what direction to go with questions. I've heard through the grindstone that Aaron Baines is really into kombucha. And they have a kombucha tap at the facility in Waltham because of Aaron Baines. So I'd like to ask him what the hell's going on with that.
What is that?
Kombucha?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
It's this like weird tea. Hold on, I'm Googling it now so I get this right. It's fermented, lively, effervescent, sweetened black or green tea drinks that are commonly intended as for health benefits. They're like a little bit alcoholic. I feel
like
it's something hipsters drink.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there's alcohol in it.
But like very low levels. It's mostly like a weird fermented tea.
No, I don't. I need higher levels than very low.
Well, I don't think they have a tap of Guinness or whiskey at all of the practice facility. They
might. All right. So let's do this. Let's do this. Because we're keeping this podcast quick, but we're back to the daily grind. Let's play Media Day. It's like Always Sunny. We're playing quarantine. Let's play Media Day. We're playing Nightcrawlers, yeah. We're mining for minerals. And so let's play. You are at Media Day, and I am at I'm your interview subject. Let's have a media day. Let's just have a media day.
All right.
The weird media day, stupid question, whatever. Just ask. Let's ask each other stupid media day questions.
All right. So, John, what'd you do in your off season to get better?
You know, I really just focusing a lot on the basics. I think, you know, you just want to, when it comes to podcasting, I think when you get to the basics and you can really hone those things, that's what makes you a lot better. So I've been talking a lot in the off season. I've been doing a lot of just kind of subtweeting an in-person type of thing, just to try to kind of get that feeling. And, you know, I just think that when you talk 5 days a week, you just talking a lot, like twice a day for 5 days a week, gets you prepared for the regular season. So it's been a lot of talking. It's been a lot of kombucha drinking. It's been a lot of that. I'm just trying to hone my looking for, I think, obscure references that, you know, like the pop culture stuff that most people are into that maybe I'm not into, but I want to feel like I'm part of something bigger. So I've been really trying to figure out things like good Game of Thrones references without actually watching Game of Thrones. So I think that's kind of like my biggest thing, is just talking a lot and figuring out where to get good references, you know, because honestly, if it's all about the retweets, it's all about the clicks. So I'm just trying to figure out what things will get me the most retweets and clicks. Trying to be the best me that I can be.
That sounds like you had a very productive off season.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. All right. So Sam Packard, I know your off season has been very busy. What do you think is the biggest motivator for you this off season?
Well, you know, it's just I had to get away from the game for a while after last season, just take a few weeks to myself and really relax and figure that out. And I've I took some downtime, and what really motivates me to podcast is a feeling of kind of I'm a little bit arrogant and think that people deserve to hear what I have to say. I think things that are kind of brilliant sometimes. I don't think I get enough credit in my daily life for just kind of all the brilliant things that are going on in my mind. So when I think about just getting out in this like recording podcast, it's just kind of this real low-level narcissism and arrogance that I think that people deserve, not only deserve, but just kind of need to hear my voice to make their lives better. And it's just, that's something I reflect on each day as I move forward, is that just how many people are relying on the things that I say to make their lives better. And yeah, that's what really drives me to get out there and just record the podcast each and every day. It's just, it's an effort. It's a job. Got to put your lunch pail on, grab that hard hat, get in the game, lower your pad level. And just think about what the people need. And it's my voice and my opinions and my takes. So I've just been working in the off season to make the takes hotter and just make my voice a little louder.
That's great. That's great.
Man, I could do this. I think I could go to Media Day and just talk nonsense.
Just sit there and just spew nonsense. All right. Okay, your turn.
Oh man, I've got nothing for you. It's really all right, hard to come up with some interesting Media Day questions.
No, it's the beauty of Media Day is some of the absurdity. So, if you had a particular type of alcohol that spurred you to make better takes versus other takes, do you have a particular type? Does whiskey help you better? Is vodka more conducive to your hot taking, or is it beer, or is it none?
I would say this summer I got real into sour beers.
Yeah, yeah. Sour beers are a big thing now.
They're big. I like the very alcoholic ones from Belgium. They would like get me loose, getting ready to go. I recently have been traveling a bunch to Kentucky for work, and I've discovered that I'm not a huge bourbon fan, which has not ingratiated me to the locals at all. So I don't know. I guess I'm a beer man. What about you?
If I gave a shit about your job at all, I would be all about Kentucky. But you're doing amazing, important work down there, and I am not willing to do the work that you're doing on a regular basis. Bourbon is like my lifeblood. But
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I love
school
bourbon.
Me on some bourbon. What should I be looking for when I go down to Kentucky? Because I don't even know what to order. Last time I ordered just like the beginner bourbon, and the waitress laughed at me.
What was the beginner bourbon that they gave
you? I don't even remember what
they
brought.
So here's the thing with me. I'm not exactly the right person to ask about. I'm not a bourbon snob. I just like it. And so to me, like, you get me a good cheap bottle of Evan Williams. You get a handle of Evan Williams at Cappy's.
Costco.
Yeah, you know, Costco. For like $20 for the handle. And that'll do you fine on a regular basis. But, you know, a good bullet, you know, a Maker's, whatever. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be like a bourbon connoisseur. I do enjoy bourbon quite a lot. But I'm not like a fancy kind of, oh, well, this one has hints of blah, blah, blah. No. Like, just give me some good brown liquid. My life is dominated by brown liquid. Coffee in the morning, bourbon at night. It wakes me up. It puts me to sleep. That's my life, which is probably sad when you think about it. I'm not trying to be a role model to kids when it comes to this, but that's what it is. So, but yeah, I think there is... Look, there's some cheap bourbon that's going to be a little more bitter. It's going to hit you like a lot harder. It's going to have a sting to it. The better bourbons are smoother, so you want to go for the stuff that's aged a little bit more. The problem with the bourbon industry is that it has exploded, and it's hard to get the great stuff anymore because people are taking shortcuts. So, but yeah, when it comes to alcohol, it's like whatever you. I love gin. One of my favorites is Hendrick's gin. Hendrick's gin is so amazing. Like, amazing. Get a Hendrick's martini with cucumber.
Ooh, fancy boy.
It'll change your life. Well, because Hendrick's is infused with rose petals and cucumber. So you get a cucumber garnish. It brings out the flavors in that. It is a little bit fancy. That is a little bit fancy. But... So I will give a shout out. We're not doing an ad today, but I'll give a shout out to my friends at Kwan's Kitchen in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. They are the ones who introduced me to Hendrick's Gin. When I lived in North Attleboro, I'd go there all the time. I'd get a couple of their signature rolls, and I would usually go in there and get a martini. I used to get Bombay Gin. And the bartender there, said, you know what? Let me give you this. He gave me the Hendrick's martini with the cucumber. Changed my life. Completely changed my life. So,
in a good way or a bad way?
No. It's debatable. It's debatable. In a good way because I really, really enjoy it. In a bad way because, you know, I crave it.
You really, really enjoy it.
I really, really enjoy it. But, yeah. So, if you're in North Attleboro, in the Foxborough area, after a Patriots game or something like that, this is a totally free ad. Head down to Kwan's Kitchen. Sushi, Chinese. They are the best. The goddamn best. They're so effing good at what they do. But slide on in there. But yeah, those they introduced me to Hendrick's Gin. That's like my favorite. But
now, you know, what Celtics player do you think is going to give their tight five on bourbon and gin tomorrow at Media Day?
Who is down with, you know what? I believe because if you're going to have like a
team alcoholic.
Oh man, that hurts my feelings a lot.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
All right then. I thought I was going to say sophisticated, but fine. Alcoholic, I suppose.
Those are not mutually exclusive topics. You can be both.
I feel like someone who's going to enjoy a sophisticated drink, it may be Al Horford. I think Al Horford as a good, sophisticated gentleman. Is there any more sophisticated gentleman on the team than Al Horford?
Well, I feel like Gordon Hayward with his new haircut looks like the type of guy you'd want. If you were like a gin executive, you'd want Gordon Hayward's look to be your spokesperson.
Sure, sure, sure. I get that. I feel like Al Horford, though, is the guy that will walk in with the turtleneck and blazer and, you know, the cigar with a tumbler of bourbon. I think Al Horford, that feels better. I feel like Al Horford feels better in that role.
Especially with his new hairline and
yeah, I just think Al Horford's just a sophisticated gentleman. Like, I just like him as a sophisticated gentleman.
No, I definitely agree with you. I just realized there's a basketball topic that happened over the weekend that we completely ignored, and that was Melo actually getting traded to the Thunder.
Yeah. Well, he's gone. That's
he's
great.
Gone. The Knicks,
good for him.
The Nets pick. Better chance of not being a top five pick, but also the Lakers pick, I feel like, is less of a chance of being 2 through 5 after the Knicks are going to be probably pretty bad next year.
Yeah, it's like kind of like a mixed blessing, I suppose, because Indiana's bad, Atlanta's bad, Orlando's bad.
Chicago's terrible. They just gave $13 million to Nikola Mirotic.
Yeah, and in a deal that automatically gave him a no-trade clause. So, like, whatever. So I feel like, but also at the same time, the West is so good that even the Lakers, if they're better than expected, they're playing in the West. So that's not going to be very conducive to them winning, is it?
You would hope so. Like, the optimist in me would say that they're going to be playing so many games against higher quality opponents, but I don't know. It's just, there feels like there's so many bad teams in the East that they more than make up for it. Just like the fact that the Lakers have some talented players makes me think they might win like more than 25 games. And in the East, it feels like there might be like 3 or 4 teams with less than 20 wins.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm really hoping that the Knicks are worse than expected and Brooklyn is better than expected. I don't know. It's hard for me because I know that it makes more sense for us to hope that the Lakers pick conveys, but I just want so badly that Brooklyn pick to be worse than expected so I can justify giving it up in this trade. So I think in the end that Brooklyn pick is going to be somewhere around 5 or lower. So I just hope that the Lakers end up not being as good. And I think I just hope the Lakers end up being worse than expected.
Yeah, hopefully there's Brooke Lopez can't deal with the L.A. limelight. Something has to go wrong there. Maybe Lonzo Ball. Maybe there's a LeVar Ball scandal that we can't even think of that will tank this Lakers season. But we have to send all bad juju towards L.A., and it's not like the Celtics fans have any experience rooting against the Los Angeles Lakers. So it might be difficult for us, but it's
we'll figure it out.
Season. How do you think I feel like we should wrap up soon, but what do you think about the Thunder? Do you think there's with Melo, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook, I think they're the fourth best team in the West, but I don't know if it made them better than the Rockets, Spurs, or Warriors.
They are at the level to me as the Spurs, but that's as far as it goes. So I don't think – look, it's fine. It does raise questions as opposed to just – it's funny. Carmelo on the Knicks is like, oh, the Knicks suck. And then you put Carmelo on the Thunder and everybody's like, oh, shit, they got Carmelo. Like, no, he's not – he's like in his early 30s, like 33. So he's past his prime, you know, and he plays the same position really as Paul George. They'll figure it out somehow, but – you know, it is very curious. I'm very curious to see how they will play together. You know, Westbrook is a ball-dominant guy. Paul George is a ball-dominant guy. Carmelo is a ball-dominant guy. So there are things to figure out. I really think some of this is Oklahoma City making moves, just trying like goddamn hell to keep one of these stars, one of the stars there in the long term so they don't become completely irrelevant. Because honestly, if they all leave, Oklahoma City's rebuild is going to be brutal. That's going to be a horrible rebuild. So I think the biggest issue for them is keeping one of these stars in Oklahoma City to give them something to be relevant. So I don't think they're going to be anything better than the third seed, and that's not going to get them past Golden State. I mean, maybe it gets them to the conference finals. It probably will get them to the semifinals, but, you know, that's about it. That's about it. But, you know, which is fine. It's fine, but it doesn't change the landscape horribly out west.
It's too bad the Warriors have just ruined basketball and just nothing any of these teams can do. It's just like, oh, yeah, well, they're just still going to get their ass kicked by the Warriors. I do have to say, for Sam Presti to give up a total of Oladipo, Sabonis, Cantor, and Doug McDermott and a second-round pick to get back Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, that's some good general managing, in my opinion. That starting lineup of those three stars plus Steven Adams, my favorite player in the NBA, non-Celtics division, and Andre Roberson, I think it's going to be pretty, like, that starting lineup is going to be pretty damn good just because Roberson and Adams give you kind of the strong defense and fundamentals, and if you just leave the scoring to the rest of the team, I think they're going to be good. But you're right. Nope, the Warriors have ruined basketball. They're not going to be better than the Warriors. I think they're going to struggle in terms of their depth because I don't know who they have left on their bench of who's any good at this point, but it's going to be interesting. I'm excited for the first kind of Warriors Thunder series, and just it's crazy that the NBA is back. I haven't really adjusted to this earlier schedule. Like, I always assume the NBA is coming back at the end of October, but
nope.
It's September and media days tomorrow.
It's media days tomorrow, and they come back in a couple weeks. And the first game of the NBA season is Celtics-Cavs, which is amazing. And then the first game the Thunder and Knicks play is against each other. So that's amazing. How the hell did that happen? Like, so there's a lot of immediate gratification when it comes to the NBA and the schedule. So, look, it's media day. Monday is media day. As you listen to this podcast, stupid shit's going to be asked, and insane answers are going to be answered. And so we'll talk about that. We're back. The NBA is back. The podcast is back. We're here Monday through Friday to give you Celtics content. Take us in the car. Take us in the gym. Take us to work. Wherever you want to take this Monday through Friday podcast. Millie's ain't lying. We are here Monday through Friday. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. So
we got to get him record a new intro, though.
You know, yeah, he just dropped the album, which you should pick up, Sped 2, available now. It's hot. Hot. There's some bangers on that album. But eventually he'll come around. He'll record a new intro. That's fine. But I'm in no hurry. So, yeah. Subscribe to the podcast because big things are coming this season. Subscribe. Search for Locked On Celtics. If this is somehow your first time listening, go search us out. Subscribe. Find us. Rate us 5 stars if you are a subscriber. Leave us a good review. Let us know. Let people know that they should be listening here because this is the best Boston Celtics podcast out there. Lots of great ones. Lots of great ones. People out there who've been doing this for a long time. But we are the best, so let them know. Okay? Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.